Beef, wine, and shenanigans. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are once again. I'm Stephen Van Patten. Over there is Mark Abbott. over there is Kirk Johnson. And over there is Denise Tapscott. Hey, it's March. It is Women's History Month. It's also Women in Horror Month. So in recognition of that, and as much as we like to empower women, the three of us are going to get out of here. So, hey, Denise, you're up.
Thanks, Denise. For my first order of business, I will select.
I can't leave you by yourself.
Please don't leave me alone.
I would like to nominate Stephen Van Patten. Not even getting out of the chair.
Kirk Van Patten and Mark Abbott as my honorary fellow writers.
Bad back, you know.
Bad back.
Age them. Yeah.
Really? With that big comfy ass chair you got? You got a bad back? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
You got to get that cat from scratching your back there. That's what it is.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, look at his face.
Hey, Mom. Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, no.
Moving on. Oh, no. I guess we should address something serious for a moment. Mm-hmm. So, Tennessee, we had another school shooting.
Yeah.
Six people dead. This shit is really starting. It's beyond the pale at this point, folks. It got so bad. Fox News actually let a woman vent, and Fox News being the propaganda wing of, you know, this conservative nonsense that is plaguing the country. That was an interesting thing to see. The out of the few times that they actually let something like that happen, because I'm sure somebody in a suit was like, okay, we need to cut the feed or whatever the hell, but no, it happened. And she got three children, three adults, no longer with us. It's really, really,
and the shooter
the shooter is gone.
Because shot herself.
Was it the police or did she? She shot her.
She shot her. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like because of police interaction. Yeah.
I might be wrong.
I mean, yeah, folks, this is gone far and beyond what we should be tolerating as a society at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's basically out of the fact that politicians and the NRA are still very powerful entities. I remember back in 2016, somebody was saying that they had gone bankrupt. I think people were it's like you get lulled into these like moments where everything's okay. And then the next thing you know, the villain is back. It's like a bad Friday the 13th movie. And this is terrible in a lot of ways. And mm-hmm. of course, made no less poignant by the fact that Tennessee, of course, is one of the states that's really gone lax with their gun laws. And, you know, it's like what you almost have to wonder what everybody outside of New York is doing, because they're constantly voting in these people who are just it's like they're just anti-decency. And it's just bothersome. And, you know, so, obviously our prayers go out to the families affected and the communities. Absolutely. And everything else like that. But then it's also like, get up and do something, stop thinking who the enemy is that you're being told. It's like the enemy is not wokeness.
Right.
That's not the enemy.
No.
Wokeness is not coming to harm your child.
No. Drag queens are not coming
and
to indoctrinate your children.
Yes.
Right.
CRT they might entertain are not, your kid. That's a
right. More than kid. You can. Yeah.
Yes. CRT is not coming to destroy your way of life.
No. Exactly. Might hold What's you that, accountable yeah. for a couple of things.
Yes. That's right.
But
yeah. Yeah.
Why is that a bad thing? As opposed to people actually walking into a school and ending lives. I don't know necessarily how it stops, how it ends, but yeah, folks, seriously, this is like, first of all, Sandy Hook should have been the end of this. If nothing else, Sandy Hook should have been the end of this conversation. Yet here we are, years later. And again, it's like, that is the one bad thing about us, is that we're still hashing out the same fucking things. Racism, sexism, homophobia. All of this, you know, the fact that slavery happened, the fact that slavery's bad, all of this, we're still arguing over it. And it's ridiculous. It's asinine. And it needs, the whole thing just needs to stop. But it can't, because too many people have been indoctrinated, not by wokeness, but by sleepness, as I would call it, because that's what the Fox News folks want to do. They want to make sure you're pissed off at brown folks, whether it's the fentanyl coming in the country or or some other shit.
Yeah.
They want you looking over here, not over here. And certainly not educating yourselves and getting a grasp of the truth.
Yeah.
So that's basically my take on the Tennessee thing.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody else wants to jump in on that, please do so.
All right, to be honest, I said my piece 100 times before. All I got to say is let's keep it so that we are not normalizing this. I don't want to normalize thoughts and prayers. Don't want to normalize, another shooting. Let's not normalize. This is an aberration in the society, and we need to cut it out. We need to really knock the fuck off. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, let's start with gerrymandering. Let's start with just getting rid of gerrymandering.
Yeah. or so has gerrymandering become such a beast that we can't beat it anymore? Let's be honest. There's so much meddling that's already taken place. We would.
Right. Like, you got to try.
You got to try. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
you got to try. Because the thing is, because the same thing could be said about just gun ownership. Has it become such a part of American psyche? Owning guns has been such a part of the American way since the Revolutionary Wars. So the question could also be, can we really just get rid of guns in this country? And to both answers, I say yes. To both of those answers, I say yes, and we have to try.
All right.
We have to try.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say to both of them.
Other countries don't have nearly as much gun violence as we do.
Well, they seem to be just fine. Other countries don't let this shit get that far south.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And I pinpoint that the Jon Stewart debate.
Yeah.
Again, because he basically caught this dude saying on one point, yeah, well, you know, government has a responsibility to protect.
Right.
Right. And it was beautiful because he let him play himself.
Mm-hmm.
We have the responsibility to protect, but protect from drag queens?
Right.
Right.
As opposed to people who are arming themselves and going to a school and shooting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Premeditated manifesto.
And you hate, and the thing is, you hate to sound like a conspiracy nut. You hate to look at this and be like, well, they've put all this in place because they want us to run around and kill ourselves and each other. You hate to say something like that, but then action and evidence speak way louder than thoughts and prayers.
That's true. Very, very true.
So I don't even know where you take this. I really don't. But Kirk is right. Kirk is right. We can't fall back into normalizing fucked up stuff. We can't fall back into apathy. Apathy is you know, apathy is part of what got us here.
Money is.
And all right. So if you had to do a Venn diagram.
Corporate greed.
No, you're right. But it's like, it's components. It's not just one thing. I don't think.
Variables.
Right. It's like fighting an octopus.
Right. You know, it's like Goodwill Hunting. And motherfucker at the board and you see all these fucking variables. And there's an equal sign to one thing. That's what it is. It's like fucking a whole bunch of like, why is that fucking straight squiggly line with a three and where and all these things.
There's a little triangle over the there and then there's a
right.
Yeah.
All that's
definitely part of
the you had to say something, Mark. I saw you ready to say something.
The number one thing. I've said it before. We can cover all of these bases we want to. What do we have laws for? The laws are not followed at all. Not at all. The people that need to go to prison, the people that need to be held accountable. There's all of these laws. Every state, every federal government has them, but nobody wants to use them. We want to be scared. That's why this crap's happening now with this jackass who held a thing down in Waco. He needs to be in prison by now. But he's not in jail. That'd have been one of us. Wouldn't have taken him 5 minutes to find us and toss us below the jail. No one is held. There's no accountability in this country. None. The Sandy Hook thing, did the mother go to jail? No.
Right.
The mother should have gone to prison for not having, and don't give me the whole, well, you know, X, Y, and Z. You allowed your child who was already not stable near weapons. And you knowingly knew that your child wasn't stable. But no punishment comes to anybody, just a bunch of sorries. There's a slap on the wrist. Oh, we don't want to set precedents by doing this. Every time I think about, and it angers me because then it also reminds me of the kid who raped a girl on the college campus. And the judge goes, oh, I don't want to ruin his life. You know,
meanwhile, he raped a girl.
Eight, nine people saw this. You know, even the whole situation with that nut job who shot those people during the Black Lives Matter. The first thing that comes out the judge's mouth, these people are not victims.
Right.
I'm not allowing. You know what the prosecution should have done? We need to move this. None of these people with the power to do anything out of fear. My thing is like, if the laws of this land are not going to be universal, then what are they there for? What reason do we have these? I mean,
well, I the way I would answer that is those laws are there to keep us in line.
That's it. But then, you know, I mean, what's the solution to that? If nobody's ever going to be held accountable for this, you know what? Blackburn should be held accountable. There should be some federal thing that can sue the governor of the state for allowing that crap to happen.
Yes.
Congress forget the state legislation because they're not going to do anything. You know, we have president of the United States. Somebody needs to, like, power needs to start being overreached. Because if you're not going to sit there, oh, it's a tragedy. It happened on your watch because you passed bills and laws in your state allowing people to do this. You pretty much put open season. And at this point, it doesn't matter who it is. You don't care. I mean, I don't even think killing one of their own family members would do anything. they would sit there and go, well, this is just, I mean, who was the governor in Arizona who almost got gunned down at her own rally? The Republicans who got gunned down at a softball practice.
Remember that too.
How many times are we going to sit here and keep watching this and keep saying there's nothing we can do? Or if we do this, we're stripping somebody of their rights. Fuck your rights. You know what? You lost your rights when you decided my life was no better than yours. When you decided that somebody else's child who woke up and went to school that morning, my parents kissed them, watched them walk into that building, and now they're not coming home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you, I guess whatever happens on the other side of the universe, since you took your own life, you know, in me personally, I hope the mythos is true. That if you took your own life, you're in the ninth circle of hell somewhere, suffering for eternity. If for suicide, on top of what you've already done, I don't have any mercy, and I can't, I cannot be that guy. I cannot sit back and be like, you know what? I forgive you. I can't forgive no more, because this thing is we're at a point now where no one is safe. Forget us being black and brown and walking down the street. No one, not even children.
Even last week, there was a shooting where there was a high school student. He was pat down going through security at school. And he pulls out a gun and shoots two people there, too. Like, it's way too normal.
The parent, you remember the kid whose parents went on the run? After they came, went on a shoot and they had run. Yeah. then they had to go track them two down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to make a correction. The police did gun down the shooter. Okay. Fatally shot the shooter at 10:27 a.m. But by that time, three children and three staff members were killed.
Yeah.
With one cop suffering a hand injury from shattered glass.
Mm. No, should have been a kneecap so that you could serve time. So you sit in the jail and rot. That's what should have happened. They're trained to put a person down without killing them. That's my theory. Because at this point, these people, I mean, what good is this now? No justice comes out of this, because you know what's going to happen? No gun law is going to be changed.
No.
We're gonna do this cycle all over again of complaining and talking about how god-awful it is and this, that, the other thing. And 3 weeks from now, it's going to be some other mess in some other state where they're all sitting there looking confused. Like, how could this, the very question, how could we have prevented this?
Right.
And then when you're given the answer, well, I don't think taking the guns out of the hands of the people. Well, you know what? The gun didn't go down there and shoot people on its own.
Right.
Somebody carried it down there. Somebody pulled the trigger. And until you guys get it, you're not going to be happy.
There's so many.
Yeah. Until it is something so far beyond your control. That January 6th, not a single individual got shot that day.
Well,
No.
Wait, I'm not even counting her, because that dude did his job. I'm talking about hundreds that even reached the place. Because because we all know, and I mean, we've said this 1,000 times before, if it had been anybody else but them, they would have called in assault. There would have been a helicopter. There would have been hell. They called a helicopter on folks when they were in Lafayette in the park that time.
I can't help but feel if it was black folks on January 6th, like a whole gaggle of us, just not only Mark, are you right that they would have been assault choppers and shit over the Capitol? I can't help but feel in every large city in the state, in every state. they would have been a martial law.
Right.
Rounding all of us up.
The National Guard deployed everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. And be like, wait, hold on. I'm in New York. I ain't even there.
There was practically a lockdown during Rodney King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
When that verdict came down, I'm like, oh, you know, these motherfuckers about to act up.
Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna front, we did though. I know I did. I can't lie.
But New York in general didn't do shit.
I was in the middle of one in Atlanta. So
yeah, I was in the village when it went down. We broke some shit.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough.
It wasn't
dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. It was a couple of little isolated things, and then motherfuckers did whatever.
Hold on, some niggas knocking on my door. I don't know who it is. It wasn't me. I wasn't there.
Right. Right. As you sitting here confessing this shit on.
Right. With this brand new TV and well, nice shoes you got there.
Look, if they're going to do that to me, man, I'm like, look, I want a TikTok kind of congressional hearing and shit then.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
If you're going to bring me in, give me some TikTok shit then. Because
maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe that's what needs to happen to the governors. When this stuff happens, congressional hearings. Drag your behind down to D.C. and sit there for and you know doggone well there's enough people there that will keep you there for at least 28 hours. You trying to answer stuff with of course, your group of cronies going, this is outrageous and we shouldn't be protesting with the governor. And
just to hear Maxine Waters go in. Just to hear Maxine Waters.
As much as I would love to see that, the problem is that with terms being the way they are and, you know, it's like, so remember they were expecting, Republicans were expecting what, like a red wave or whatever the fuck. And it turned out to be just a drip. And it wasn't even a drip because certain key people weren't even up for reelection.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter how you put it, like the foothold remains. And the Democrats still end up playing the part of the Washington Generals to the Republicans fucking globetrotting. And that's the thing. And it's like, we could have hearings, but then what? Because everybody's not Katie Porter.
Right.
So what does that even get? So you're going to get Katie Porter or somebody along those lines asking tough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Marjorie Taylor Greene asking for like cupcake recipes.
Yeah.
And then the reverse when it's a Democrat.
Right.
You know, and it's like, this is the most dysfunctional fucking shit ever at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, just, you know what? The satisfaction I would get out of it is because it's wasting your day. Because basically you have wasted I don't know if it's 100% because of gerrymandering or if, you know, it's like, the personal ads back in the 70s. And now we're in 2000s where newspaper don't exist no more. Everybody can see your crap rather than, you know, if you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. It's just every jackleg fool is like that. We're putting people in power just for the sake of doing it. It's not even because the person I'm gonna vote for Marjorie Taylor Greene because she pisses everybody off. Really? You like so the fact that. The fact that she literally is not going to do or get anything done on behalf of your county, that doesn't bother you. Just to have her there as a thorn in the side is that doesn't make any sense. And it's like, this is all we're seeing across the board. None of these people are qualified for these jobs. In fact, and I think I've said this before, I think at this point, if you're going to be a politician, people now, we need to do something about the constitutional law that not everybody can run for office.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If you are a soccer mom and have never sat on, never been a mayor or governor or anything, you have no business in the Senate or the House.
How about just have a law degree?
That would be great. And have somebody verify. Don't have some loser like George Santos.
To be a teacher, you need to be certified. To drive an 18-wheeler, you need a CTL license. All the things that you need to have to be a doctor, you have to have gone to medical school, taken the oath, the whole nine. But to be a senator or someone or congressperson, you don't need no qualification, just 150 names on a list that say, yeah, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in there and you do absolutely nothing. Nothing.
No,
I mean,
basically you're at the behest of everybody that paid for your campaign.
Literally, every single day we turn the news on, what do they say? These bills have been passed by the Democrats. This. Even if I was not a Democrat, I'd have to sit back like, wow, they're getting shit done. Meanwhile.
Needful shit done.
May not be the greatest.
Right.
But it's getting done. As opposed to you going down to the jail where the January 6th people are, who, correct me if I'm wrong, got an album out?
What?
Who, drop out?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh
no.
The J6 choir has put out a song with Dumpf reciting some crap, manifesto crap that he put in there, but it's them singing the national anthem. This is what they played at Waco, Texas. Had everybody stand up, putting their hand over their heart, playing these insurrectionists. And at this point, showing the entire insurrection on a big screen. So we're not even saying it's an insurrection anymore. We're not even calling these people victims.
Ugh.
But this is where we are.
Yeah.
And I'm telling y'all, if we don't figure out a way to put foot in ass and start holding people accountable, I mean, some of these folks, when they lose their elections, shit needs to come back to haunt them. They need to spend some time someplace.
But now the trick is, I lose the election, I pretend I didn't lose the election. So then there's that.
Yeah, that's scary.
So then there's that. Like, they saw how that shit worked for El Dumpe, so...
I mean, it didn't.
Now they're all trying it. Fucking dude in Brazil tried it. Like, it's fucking crazy. But
and I love the fact that the Brazilians were like,
nah, son. Right. They were like, nah, son. Wait. Ain't nobody even got the patience for that.
They were like, we'll get the old, we'll get the most interesting man in the world back in office.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
But again, other countries don't have 74 million people dedicated to the preservation of white supremacy and racism.
What do you think, Denise? What do you think, Denise?
What do I think?
Yeah, us guys have been going on like we forgot.
Oh, I'm totally agreeing with you. No, 200%. No, I definitely agree with everything you guys have to say. Yeah, absolutely. One thing that makes me nervous, though, about like making these laws, but if we don't like the laws, like they're pushing the wrong things, like you're trying so hard to push like the abortion issue. Let that go. Seriously, let's really work on the gun thing. Like, how much longer? Yeah, and the distractions of everything everywhere really makes me nervous. Makes me not want to leave my house. Like, no one's talking about COVID anymore, and they're not really talking about Ukraine. Oh, but now we are talking about Ukraine a little bit. And then, oh, now there's a shooting. And then there's another shoot. Like, we really need to focus and really need to make stuff happen. If we can attach some kind of monetary
fine for every time there's a shooting in the state. I love that idea too. But then where does that money go? Who gets that money? Yeah. Right?
That's like, that's great, actually. Yeah. like if the Biden literally wrote in a law.
That's it.
Anytime there's a shooting of this magnitude, the state gets fined, and the money goes to the survivors, the families of the victims.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would be great.
And to mental health.
And to mental health.
Right, like there's such a hefty fine that these governments they can bitch and moan all they want, but if it's like, well, you know, we got to do something.
According to the books here, you had a shooting this day. Right. This is gonna cost you. Yeah,
right. I let you get. No, you can keep your guns, but if there's a school shooting, your state, your entire state gets fined.
Yeah,
which is forcing the entire state now to mobilize on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So
and I say take it. For the exception of education, take it from everybody else.
Yes.
Start pulling money.
You pulling money
from EMS.
Oh, police. No. Right.
From like all of these to ACS. Everybody
you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
It's retroactive. So every quarter when the states look for that budget coming in, it's like, we have to take this percentage out though, because you had so-and-so shooting last year and it's June 4. So henceforth, you don't get that heavy budget. You're like, but what about the schools? Like, well, you have to work that out.
Yeah.
I'll put you this way.
And that money goes to the school. That money can go to their schools, but it won't be through the government. The governors. Yeah.
I say it like this. Baseline, I'm just throwing numbers. Baseline, $8 million comes out of your budget. But every gun death that was that is not related to police, like justifiable shooting.
Right.
$3 million per death.
Right.
Nice. Yeah.
And it should not come out the taxpayer.
And it doesn't come out. No.
Exactly.
It comes out right out your collective budget at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. There it is. And then when we go back and we look. I do that one better. Mm-hmm. Take it out of the governor's.
Yeah.
I bet. And that's a great idea. I love it, but I also can't help but think that some of these states will be like, you know what? Fuck that. We're gonna secede. Which,
bye, bitch.
I got no problem.
Bye. California would be fine.
But then it's like. Then the federal government has to turn around and say, oh, but then we're not getting that revenue. Mind you, the states where we kind of know how to run a civilization, not exactly, but we're the moneymakers. New York's the moneymaker. California's the moneymaker.
Yeah.
You know, I want to say.
And
they're also the ones that are the Eastern Seaboard in general.
And they're the ones, those two states are the only ones, I don't want to say the only ones, but are part of the ones like really making efforts to curb that shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because everybody wants to talk about how bad Detroit is and Chicago. You only have school shootings. Right. So all of a sudden you know what I mean? All of a sudden now it's like, well, you're showing favoritism to the East Coast and those big liberal cities. It's like, no, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Doing their job. Why don't you do yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need some just hard neck knuckle motherfuckers up in there. That's all. John Stewart. John Stewart up in
John
there.
John Stewart would never do that to himself. He would never do that to himself.
He wouldn't. No. I said somebody like him.
Yeah.
Who
your boy.
Who? Like somebody will just come out and say, do your fucking job.
Yeah.
Like your boy the other week who was like,
about to have a fight?
No, the one that was like, yeah, Trump didn't, oh no, about job practices, hiring practices, because we all know that Trump didn't do that when it was his kids. Yes,
exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Cut to Friday.
We just need some officials that'll bite back, at least. Give me some bite.
Yeah, back, we need more Katie Porters and
AOCs.
And AOCs yeah. And Katie Porter. We need to do a field trip to Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. I just want to hang out in the halls of the Capitol and wait to watch Katie Porter going by with a whiteboard. And just be like, oh, you know it's about
to go down.
She be reading motherfuckers. Yo.
Yes.
It's like, yes. I wouldn't even, like, I got to be honest. I wouldn't even show up. Wait, who's questioning me? You right. know what? Just give me the 90 days in the cell, man. You ain't gonna play me on fucking C-SPAN like that, son. No.
I'm sure when she opened the trunk of her car and had the
I saw that one. Yeah, the hatch.
She, the hatch, and then she came up, and I was like, hey,
can you imagine her just walking into FedEx Kinko's? And they're like, hey, what's up?
Right.
How you doing? What we doing today? What we doing? Who we getting?
Right. They start a new program called the Porter Discount. Anybody trying to, like, you know, actually do their job and convict motherfuckers who should be mm-hmm. held accountable for shit, they mm-hmm. get free. Oh, wait, you need 120 of these files is printed out and copied and oh, 120 copies of 120 pages? Oh, yeah. How much? Oh, 25 cents.
25 cents.
What, a page? No. It's just 25 cents.
Katie's going to be like, let's do some basic math. Uh-oh.
And a little sticker and a little sticker of Mitch McConnell falling downstairs.
I would literally
a little sticker.
Follow Katie Porter and have like a wagon of popcorn and just roll up and then be like, here you go. Anybody need a Coke?
Popcorn.
A Coke? Orange whip? Get three orange whips over here. Settle in.
Wait, so Katie Porter got her own beehive. We call the Porters.
Right. The Porters.
Nice.
The Porters. Talking bad about Katie Porter? Oh, hell no. Nah.
What'd you say about Katie?
Oh, hell no. No. We doxing motherfuckers. Yo, this is where that nigga live.
Be like your homegirl. Be like your homegirl in Swarm. Who's your favorite politician?
Yes.
Right. Oh my God. And since you guys have laid the segue out so beautifully, nice work, fellas. Let's switch gears.
Reporter.
And let's talk about Swarm for a hot second. For those of Man. You who don't know, because I swear to God, I thought there was going to be some shit about some bees.
And, Son.
You know, some other thing right. or whatever.
Right. I had no idea.
What it is actually about is about a young lady that's so obsessed mm-hmm. with a beautiful R&B songstress that she kind of goes on a killing spree.
Yeah.
And basically targets anybody who talked shit about said R&B singer on mm-hmm. social media. Now,
yes.
There are some blatant shades to Beyonce. Blatant references mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. Beyonce.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blatant references to the Beehive and all of that.
Yeah.
And constructed around a serial killer story. a disturbing one. I will.
Yeah.
And it's entertaining. It's obviously the, well, it's not obviously, but for those paying attention, it's a brainchild of Donald Glover. Who
Mr. Atlanta himself.
Mr. Black Surrealism himself. And it's everything you want in an uncomfortable You know, an uncomfortable sort of narrative. You know, anything that's it's very off-putting at times. The only critique I actually have is that the main protagonist, if you want to call her a protagonist, hero is
Dominique Fishback.
Dominique Fishback. A fantastic actress, first of all.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm not, you know, taking anything from her. Her performance is actually, it's mesmerizing, disturbing, and a couple of other things. But I do want to make the point, though, about the writing. This is the first time I've seen a serial killer with more plot armor than Batman.
The Joker.
But see, the thing is, that's set in the Gotham universe, and you expect that kind of thing. Something otherwise grounded and without supervillains and without the threat of, you know, Lex Luthor or Superman intervening or any of that other shit. The fact that she's getting into these people's houses the way she does, that, for me, that kind of took me off. There's a few other things that I'm just kind of like, ah, oh, come the fuck on. But for the most part, it's incredibly enjoyable. And first and foremost, before I let you guys, you know, take over, I just want to point out something that really made my fucking viewing experience. And that was the presence of Leon.
Yes.
As the father of Marissa, a very pivotal character within the story. Leon brought back some David Ruffin energy.
Yes.
Shotgun. And I have to admit, once that started happening, I was all for it. I found that to be incredible. Like, I would watch that on loop. His whole performance, I would watch that on loop for at least a couple of hours. I enjoyed it that much.
I see you, Leon, and I raise you, Cree Summers.
How about that? That was nice. That was nice too.
Oh,
yeah.
That was definitely nice.
And if you weren't aware of this, her husband is the brother who was the first Black man to be the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway.
Ah.
Okay. Ooh.
Did not know that.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I did not know that either.
I see your Phantom of the Opera. Ooh. And I raise you, the dude who's in the strip club, who was looking at her funny when she was dancing, is Poot from The Wire.
Oh, it is.
From The Wire. Mm-hmm. With a full beard on. With a proper full beard on.
Yo, which is funny, because when I first saw him, and I was wrong as fuck, but I thought it was Freeway from when Jay-Z had that whole crew.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis Bleak and whatchamacallit.
Even though what we do is wrong.
Yeah.
Freeway.
Beanie Siegel.
I thought for a hot second, I thought that was Freeway. I was like, wait, what? Yep. And then I realized, no.
His face with him with the dollars, and he's just like,
yo.
He wasn't sure whether to tip her.
Forgive me. That beard and that look on his face, he looked like one of the flying monkeys from The Wiz.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn.
That's fucked up.
Forgive me. I'm sorry, but I can't help but like, that came to mind like, huh, The Wiz. Oh, damn. the motorcycle dudes.
Denise, though. Denise, you got to kick this off because you're the one that got us all watching this thing.
Yeah.
Your text.
I love this show because it was not at all what I expected. Mm. I thought
yeah, I didn't know it was going to be like so twisted and turned, because I didn't know that Donald Glover was even involved in the project. I'm looking at the credits and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Ooh, that's interesting. And then when things started getting kicked off and I was like, what's going on? She did what? And then that happened? And then what? I read an article about how some of the things that happened in the episodes do happen or did happen in real life.
To wow.
Beyonce and other people. Yes. Like there's the scene where, can I say spoilers? Is that okay?
Spoiler alert.
I'll say this. In real life, Beyonce was bit in the face by an actress who was in Love and Basketball. Or supposedly.
This is the Non Latham story.
Yes. So there's little bits and pieces here and there.
wait. That end scene, that actually made me laugh.
With them cats sitting dudes outside.
Yes.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
That shit. I started off.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God. Okay. That puts it all together.
Yeah. I absolutely loved the episode with the cult. With all the white ladies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That was really good.
Billie Eilish.
Like, so clever. Yeah, Billie Eilish. Yeah, and I wasn't a big fan before. And I was like, oh, I got to like rethink that. She did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. And it was just like watching like American Horror Story sort of. Because, wow, it was great. It was absolutely great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was bananas. Yeah.
And she, to her credit, she acted her ass off. Mm-hmm. Like,
she did. She really did.
There were a couple of times I thought they had her, and I was ready to start cheering. I was ready to start cheering because I was like, "Please do something." Yeah, there are very few characters. There are very few characters that I come across that I completely despise and want to see their downfall, and she's one of them.
Yeah,
because I got to the point. I think I text y'all. I was like, my head hurt. Because I was just like, come on, man. Like, there's no, like, the incident with the strippers. I was like, yo.
Yes.
It was just by sheer happenstance you got out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you shouldn't, that you shouldn't have, you know? Yeah. And it's like.
But she had to.
No, I know she had to. Because it had to. But for a minute, I was like, how are you going to get out of this? And then.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, here we
go. Wait, flipped? Yeah.
I was like, all right, so.
Yeah.
And then
she's like untouchable.
There
was a bunch of bitches anyway. Well, they.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
No. Let me not say. I ain't going to say no. I'll wait my turn.
Right. Like one of the last episodes when you see the police and they're like searching her car and she just keeps walking on by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that's usually what happens. that's your tax dollars at work,
right?
Man,
they're like three steps behind. Yeah. I really liked it.
All I gotta say is, this had so many, like you said earlier, Stephen, Afro surrealism. This is if you watch Atlanta and you see Atlanta through all the seasons. There are so many surreal moments that you're like, come on, man, that's like plot, like you were saying, plot armor. And I saw it as like, that's like a surreal take because the people's houses she was able to get into once you see the investigation, you know, it plays on that idea of the white guilt and white liberalism. That's the only way she was able to get into certain places. Mm. That one place, that one hotel, if it wasn't for that, you know, one character saying that thing he said.
Oh,
at the gym.
The health.
Yes.
Right. And, yeah.
Because I noticed.
Is he being racist? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And it happened twice. And remember, that happened twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a thing where, you know, Donald Glover in his shows will play with that idea of racism, reactions to racism, and reactionary, and the turnaround reactionary reaction to being perceived as racist, and how, so, you know, how a character will respond to that, and it's very surreal. It's very, very surreal in that kind of manner. Where I ain't go front. There was a point where I saw it as a surreal thing going on until that one episode where they start going investigation. I was like, oh shit, this is real.
Right.
No, you know, and then finding out, I mean, of yeah, course was, it ain't real. Right. Part of me was like,
episode
yeah.
six.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
mind episode six. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Like, look at that ain't real. Come on, man.
I was we need Loretta Green.
Mm. Yes.
We need a whole show. We she need her own spinoff, like the Files of Loretta Green. Because just to watch her be a detective,
man,
was just pure. It was pure joy.
I want to revisit this in the next couple of days or something, so that we can do full like spoiler review shit.
Yeah,
there were some funny moments that made me laugh so hard that I wasn't supposed to. Right? Yeah, like you're like this.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Have you guys seen it yet? Because I was like,
There's something to Steven's point. Yeah. There was one point she got into somebody's place, and I'm like, no. Absolutely not. Because I grew up with those windows that you had to turn like this. I was like, how in the hell did you get your now, you know what?
And shouldn't there been like a security system? Yeah.
Not to. All right. I've known of some individuals who were able to on the first side on the entry side that were able to do those things. On the other side,
don't tell on yourself, Kirk. I mean, you're.
I already did, but I'm on the other side. On the other side. As you know, to paraphrase Rick James, cocaine is a hell of a drug. Loneliness is a motherfucker.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what I will say. I will say to that point, loneliness is a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
If all you see is ass coming through the window, there's a point, and you come in with your back, and I'm just saying, there's a point where you stop. And you're like, you want some tea? Would you like some tea? Yeah. I don't have Netflix, but I have Hulu. I'm just saying, it's not
Netflix and chill. It's Hulu and fool you,
right?
Ooh.
Wait, what? junk food sex. That's all I'll say to anybody. That's all I'll say.
Oh my god!
Junk food, sex.
She took him down a rabbit hole, and folks,
she did.
When you binge this, it is binge worthy.
It's not episode like that long.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm really glad you guys liked it.
I actually
feel
better now about like I'm really happy now that I have a third TV series to continue watching. They have like American Gods, Lovecraft Country, Swarm, and Bad Hair.
Those are the black cars that I'm watching. And I guess we're getting another season of Swarm.
If that show is to survive, I think they need to do a different character.
I think so too.
For the next season, I don't think they should piggyback off of her because I think
I agree.
The way they wrap this one up, I in my mind I know what happened to her. I'm like, okay, what she experienced and what the reality is are two different things.
Yeah,
but
because it happened in real life to Beyonce.
But right. I think you know who would be interesting. Your boy, the live one, who is like, we don't kill nobody.
Eminem?
No.
That kid,
we don't kill nobody.
The pause. I mean,
that would be taking it too long.
And he kept thinking about it. He's like,
that nigga paused like three times.
He did.
In five different intervals. And it was like this.
He had to really consider it.
That was the thing that got me because he was like, and the camera, because I'm waiting for the camera to cut off. Right. And he just, and it's lingered on him while he sat there thinking about it. And I'm like, you know what?
He really thought about it.
I got a quick question for you, Mark. Mm. In the commune.
Yes.
All women commune. Mm-hmm. Did you not feel a little bit of empathy during that moment?
For her?
Yes.
No.
Empathy.
Remember?
I remember. You know what? There were two things.
There were two things about what you, why. There was reasons mm-hmm. on why. And it was there during that moment that you actually heard something in her.
Yeah, but yeah. You know what?
That wasn't who she was.
Mm. You know, my problem was.
Yeah.
I completely was done with her when she ran into homegirl in the mall and told that ridiculous lie. And I'm like, you know what? Mm. You just, whatever's going on with you.
Come on. Spoilers. Wait. To the actual one, to the one who fired her?
Yes.
He was mean and nasty to her.
Yeah, the one who was mean and nasty and like thought of her as less than, and then she lied to her.
It was
the story?
It's the story just went so
because the fact is who connected the two of them?
Her.
Yeah.
You look at she didn't kill her.
But my thing is the sister connects the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's almost like what she says to her about the fact about I saw you at the funeral and what transpired there. Mm-hmm. And then to turn around, it's almost like it didn't feel like she was telling her this story sort of as like, oh, you want to be in my business? Let me tell you what is it. Like she had fallen so far into her own insanity that she herself, the telling of that story in her mind was absolutely true.
Yeah.
This wasn't a let me give you something to throw you off. It literally, once she did that, I was like, yeah, chick, you gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. To see that level of her delusion but
that level of her delusion is the insight on why she was that way. Why that was, you know what I mean? That was that moment where you saw beyond the murderer and saw the child. Because she's crying.
That's how I definitely saw more of the murderer. Like,
that was the moment where it was like, because the whys of her doing what she did, and it all was the puzzle pieces from the commune and the investigation between those two. And that moment is you saw what was missing in her actual mind, in her life.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it away that she's responsible for the things she's done. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is there is a child, a human child still there that has not actually matured psychologically and emotionally. She has not. Reality and fantasy
is there has still become good in her.
No, what I'm saying is we need some free mental fucking health.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I can
agree for that. Fucking mental health.
I would not want to see her in a dark alley. I would not want to be in a room with her at all. That far gone. Oh no.
What? Oof. Just say how much you love Nigel. I love nigga.
Right. And just the fact that not doing so is a trigger.
Yes. Yeah.
That ends up with you dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Dead.
That shit is bananas.
But you have to know that, because if you don't know that, you dead. You dead. Dead. You dead. Like, how do you feel about the New Orleans Saints?
right?
Forgive me, ladies, for watching.
New Orleans Saints, Denise. I love them. I love them.
Forgive me for saying this, ladies who are watching out there, but there's a booty coming through my window. You want to watch some Hulu?
Oh, my stars.
Well, Kirk.
Hey, Kirk, you're in the freezer. Yeah, I know. Bad choices. Yeah. Just bad choices.
Mark taking his pills.
Loneliness is a motherfucker, you know. Loneliness make you do dumb shit.
Oh, my stars.
Well, loneliness has brought us to the end of this particular installment of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. As always, I would like to thank the very empathetic Kirk Johnson, very logical Mark Abbott, and the very fantastic Denise Tapscott. I am Stephen Van Patten. We're going to get into some other stuff next episode, which probably won't be for a little bit, maybe a couple of weeks or so, because, you know, life intervenes. But you will be hearing from us all very soon. Yes. We love you. We mean it. Take care of each other and head on a swivel, folks, because you know
yeah
love one another.